Part 1, The Case of Catherine. In this part, we will first be exposed to the concept of past lives and reincarnation mentioned in the book. During her 18 months of intensive psychotherapy conducted by the author, something strange happened to Catherine. In 1982, Catherine, usually scared of flying, joined Stuart on a flight to Chicago for the medical conference. While there, she asked Stuart to an Egyptian exhibit at an art museum together, something Catherine had always been interested in. Despite not being an expert on the subject, she felt a strange sense of familiarity with the artifacts and even corrected the tour guide's descriptions, surprising everyone. Catherine couldn't explain how she knew these things or why she felt so strongly about them, leading her to wonder if the memories were from her childhood. After her weird experience at the Egyptian exhibit, Catherine finally agreed to try hypnotherapy. What exactly is hypnotherapy? According to the author, it is a technique that can help patients remember forgotten memories. This process involves a trained hypnotist guiding the patient into a state of deep relaxation and focused concentration, which can enhance the clarity of memories. There's nothing mysterious about it. It is simply a tool that can help bring back important moments from the past. In this hypnotic treatment, the author discovered the secret of her fear of the dark, fear of water, and fear of choking. When she was 3, she was molested by her father at night. When she was 5, she was pushed into a swimming pool, choked and coughed. When she was 6, she went to the dentist and had a terrifying experience. Though Catherine had remembered all these secrets, a week later, her condition had not improved. The author was surprised. So, during the following treatment, he required Catherine to return to when her symptoms began. Then, he was astonished at what he heard. This time, she became an 18-year-old girl named Aronda in 1863 BC. She saw a marketplace in front of the building, with baskets that could be carried on the shoulders. The setting was a valley without any water. The area was hot, barren, and sandy, with no rivers except for a well. Water flowed into the valley from the mountains. Under the guidance of the author, she reached the age of 25. At this age, she had a daughter named Cleistra, who was Rachel, Catherine's real-life niece, and they had always been close. It was hot. The author then asked her to go back to the time of her death, when a flood apparently hit her village. Then she paused for a moment as if the narrative of this life were over. Upon hearing this, the author was startled. He suspected that she might suffer from schizophrenia and make up stories, or she might have antisocial or sociopathic tendencies. But these doubts were eliminated by the author based on clinical experience and psychological diagnosis theory. Is it really a past life or reincarnation? Where did these memories come from? With these questions in mind, the author continued to ask Catherine, who was under hypnosis, some questions, and found that she even remembered 2 other lifetimes. In one of them, she was a Spaniard in 1756 named Luisa, a prostitute. There was a pandemic going on. A lot of people died. The other one existed in 1568 BC. The author discovered that he, too, existed in this lifetime as her teacher. This hypnosis session was over. The author still cannot firmly use reincarnation and past life to explain what Catherine said. But he realized that real science begins with observation. He should keep an open mind. The idea of reincarnation has been mentioned in religious history in both the Old and New Testaments. Gnostic, a sect of early Christianity that flourished in the 2nd century AD, and many others believed they had a past life and an afterlife. In 325 AD, the Roman Emperor Constantine the Great and his mother Helena ordered that references to reincarnation be deleted from the New Testament. In 553 AD, they again made the idea of reincarnation a heresy because they thought the church would be weakened by saying that people have more than one lifetime to seek salvation. But the author hadn't been spending much time thinking about this idea. Although his early religious training alluded to the existence of a soul after death, he did not really believe in it. Catherine's condition had improved considerably. During the next week's hypnosis, Catherine returned to Aronda's life and brought up important information that people would be floating after they died. She found herself floating above her body and could see the scene below. She floated up into the clouds, confused. Then she quickly felt herself being pulled into a tiny, warm space, which represented that she would be born soon. It reminded the author of Dr. Raymond Moody's work on near-death experiences. His patients also remember floating and then being pulled back into their bodies. Among other things, the authors learned that Catherine's psychic powers had increased during this time in the hypnotic treatment. Her instincts about events and people turned out to be right. In hypnosis, she could guess what the author wanted to ask before he did it. Many of her dreams were prophetic. For example, she could guess correctly which horse would win every time at the racetrack. It amazed and fascinated the author. However, he was still uncertain about the authenticity of the events related to the past life. This is the end of chapter 2. What makes the author finally believe in past lives and reincarnation? We will answer that question in the next chapter.
Dir hat dieser Podcast gefallen? Dann klicke jetzt auf Abonnieren und empfehle ihn weiter. Bleib immer auf dem Laufenden und folge uns bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook. Mehr Podcasts findest du auf meinpodcast.de.